بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Last week we were discussing some of the incidents in the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi with regards to his wit and intelligence. Another incident that is narrated about the intelligence and the wit of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that one day a person went to the Khalifa of the time and complained to him and said that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi uses and employs logic against the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the complaint that came. The Khalifa of the time, immediately he summoned Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi comes into the court and the Khalifa and the leader of the time tells him that you are using intelligence against the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this person replies, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replies, and he says that if I am utilizing and employing my logic against the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then I will just cite three of my masail and rulings that need to be changed. So he says, which three? So he says, number one, person passes away, he leaves behind a son and a daughter. My ruling is that the son must get double the share of the daughter. If I had to employ logic, I would have said, give the lesser of the two, meaning give the lesser creation, the weaker creation of Allah, give the daughter double the share of the son. So he says, okay, I accept that, the Judah, you're not employing logic against the ahadith or the Quran. Second example. So he says, when a lady goes through her menstrual cycle every month, and if that cycle has to coincide with the month of Ramadan, then what is the more important action? Is salah more virtuous or is fasting more virtuous? So the Khalifa of the time says that salah is more virtuous than fasting. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, if salah is more virtuous, I give the ruling that she must make qada and she must make up her fast of Ramadan that's missed, but not the salah of Ramadan that's missed. He says, wow. So that means you are in line with the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's the teachings. This is the third one. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, which one is more messier? Which messes and soils your clothes more? Is it the semen of the person? Or is it his urine? Meaning, which creates a larger spot of najasat and impurity? So the Khalifa replies, obviously his urine. Urine, if a person has to by mistake urinate in his clothes, then majority of the clothes will get messed as compared to just his semen. It'll just be a small area. So he says, okay, if the urine is going to be creating more najasat over the body, I tell such a person who urinates, he must go and make wudu. But when there is emission of semen, then he must go and make ghusl. So he says, oh, okay. So that means you are not employing your logic. You are according to the rulings of the sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One person in Kufa, he had ill beliefs against Usman radiallahu anhu. Usman radiallahu anhu was the third Khalifa of Islam, married to two of the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If Nabi sallam said, if I had the third, I would have given. So that is why Usman radiallahu anhu was called Dhun-Nurain. Dhun-Nurain, the possessor of two lights, because he was married to two of the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, once he comes to visit this person who has incorrect beliefs regarding Usman radiallahu anhu. So he knocks on the door. So this person sees Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He says, come in, come inside. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was welcomed into the house. So he says, you know what? I'm so happy. I've brought to you the proposal of a boy for your daughter. So he says, wow. This boy, very pious. Tahajjud salah, the entire Quran in one rakat.
He's a Hafidul Quran, Jayyid, very good. Sadaqah, when it comes to charity, he'll spend in the path of Allah until his funds have exhausted. If you talk about the wealth of the town, he'll buy it and donate it. He's very rich, very pious. Allah has given him the best of both. He's got the best of both. Nowadays, people always make the dua, Ya Allah, my daughter must get such a husband who's got the best of both. But Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatullah Ali, he gives a very beautiful dua. He says, the dua we need to be making for our children, that Allah must give them Acha Ghar. Acha Ghar. Mufti Ibrahim Saleji, once when he was here, Damat Barakatum, then he was mentioning Acha Ghar means a good home. It includes the goodness of dunya and akhirat. Acha Ghar, give him a good house, meaning your daughter or your son, give him a good house physically. And oh Allah, Acha Ghar means a good rishta and a good relationship. A good husband to look after the daughter. So anyway, person, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahman says, this person, his proposal, this boy, very good, best of both, very rich, very pious, fast a lot of sadaqah. So he says, hey, listen, O Imam Abu Hanifa, my criteria is much less than that. That is a very good boy, I wouldn't say no. Imam Abu Hanifa interjects, he says, sorry, there's only one problem in him. He says, hold on, what's that one problem? He says, this boy is a Jew. He says, what? Can I accept the proposal of a boy who's so pious yet he's a Jew to get married to my daughter? Never. So he says, do you think Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will give two of his daughters to a person who's a Jew? So he says, Tawbah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Usman radiallahu anhu couldn't have been a Jew. He couldn't have been incorrect. So this was the wit of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, talking about hikmat and wisdom and wit. One was that example that we mentioned, I'm sure it was, must have been a Jum'ah Salah or something that we mentioned in this masjid, that one alim of South Africa was giving a da'wah. He was invited somewhere at one of the houses. So he goes for the da'wah. Savories, everything comes in order now. The savories, the soup, the main dish, and everything is coming. And then he realizes that something has been skipped out. That the tea came with the lawazimat, meaning with the necessities and the soakers and the tea and biscuit and cakes, everything. But in a distance he can see in the back there's a table and there is some desserts over there. Now he thinks to himself, if I ask the host, Maaf brother, the desserts maybe you forgot. What if that's for another guest or for tomorrow? He'll think this Mawlana is greedy. But what if I leave the house and I don't eat? Husband and wife will argue that why didn't you put it all my hard work? So he doesn't know what must he do. So Mawlana, he said, now, they look in nice. They're really watering my mouth. But how do I call for the dessert? So he said, hey brother, you know what, let me tell you one story. Those days we used to go fishing. And I'm telling you, we used to catch massive things. Nowadays you go to the harbor, you're coming with your grandchild, you know, 5, 6 kilos, 7 kilos, and a fisherman, the biggest fish is the one he lost. So anyway, he's explaining about all his fish, you know. But you know the size of the rod that we used to have? Yeah, how do I explain to you in this house? But approximately, see, from where I'm standing, the rod was from here. You can see the table there. That table, you see, Marij gave the desserts, I forgot to bring. So he used hikmat and wisdom, he got the desserts on the table. He says, Maaf, Marana, I forgot to bring the desserts. There was another pious person, his name was Abu Bakr, rather Abu Bakr Baqillani, Rahmatullahi, very pious person of his time. So one day, the Roman emperor and king, he summoned Abu Bakr Baqillani. He says, you come to my court. So Abu Bakr, he had to obviously accept the summon and the calling of the leader of the time. So he goes in the direction heading towards the Roman emperor. But the Roman emperor says, you know what, this scholar is very intelligent. And he only bows down to one Allah. But I will show you, he'll bow down to me. So the king said, so the courtier said, but king, how are you going to do that? How are you going to get him to bow to you? He says, I'm going to sit right here and put my throne. He says, that entrance, I want you to lower that entrance. So where the height is, which is normal height of a man to walk in, I want you to half it. So when he comes in, he's not going to bow to me. Automatically, he's going to bend down to enter the court. He wouldn't realize I'm sitting in front of him. And he's going to be bowing down in front of me inevitably. So Abu Bakr Baqilani comes. And he's about to be taken and ushered in into the court. And he looks at the entrance and he gives it a thought. He says, wait, this Roman emperor did some chalaki. There is something that's mischievous of here. Something's not looking right. I'm sure the people here are not so short. Why is this entrance so low? Why is it lowered? And listen, that cement looks quite freshly placed. So he thought about it. And in a quick moment as they were taking him, he comes to the door. As he comes to the door, he turns around. Meaning his face is not facing forward, his back is facing, he bends down backwards into the courtroom. So the king looks at him, and he says, this scholar, you can't get away with him. What actually he did was, he faced his backside towards the king. Meaning that even indirectly I mustn't bow down before this king. But he was so witty and so clever. So one day he came, Abu Bakr Baqilani Rahmatul Ali, he comes to visit the monks of the time. Those were like, you know, the real pious people, the monks. So he comes into the area of worship and he greets them. He says, good day or good, whatever the case be, good morning. How are all of you today? So he greets them. So they all say, no, we're all very well. And how are you also? So he asked them, how's the family? How's the children and the daughters and sons? How's all of them? He said, what's wrong with you? Don't you know we don't marry? Don't you know we don't marry? What children are you asking about? This is a deficiency and something incorrect for us to get married. We don't get married. He said, oh, you all don't have children, but God had children? You all didn't have children, but God had children. Anyway, it's a lengthy incident. We'll not discuss the entire thing because a few questions obviously follow after that. But this was that wit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for in the Quran. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Allah says, when you want to invite people to the deen of Allah, you have to, number one, empower yourself with wisdom and then a good speech. Meaning even if you have calculated your words, you're going to say the right thing. But if you are not blessed with wisdom, you may just draw the person or your mother may take the person away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hikmat is very important, a component when a person gives da'wat. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, one last incident and a few other aspects before we discuss his death. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, his neighbor was a person who perpetually used to be drunk and he used to sing at night. And in his singing throughout the night, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi used to be disturbed. He used to be disturbed because it was very loud singing and this man was also used to be drunk perpetually. One night Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, he realizes that there is no noise coming from next door. There's no disturbance at all. So the next morning, he looks around, he goes to his neighbor, he realizes his neighbor is not around. So he asks the people in the locality and on the street, what happened? So he says, no, your neighbor has been imprisoned. There was some case against him, he has been imprisoned. Suspicion, so he's imprisoned. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi had very close ties with the governor of the time. So immediately he goes to the governor, knocks on his door. So he says, oh, Imam Abu Hanifa, you came to me. Why didn't you tell me? I would have come to you. He says, no, I've got the work. I'll come to you. So, okay, what work do you have? He said, oh, my neighbor has been put into prison. He has been imprisoned. I'm not too sure what's the reason, what's the grounds. It seems to be just suspicion rather than anything concrete. So my requirement is that if he can be freed from prison, so the Khalifa or the governor of the time says, by all means, definitely we'll free him. But you carry on home. So he goes away home, the neighbor is freed. As he's walking home, he's half drunk, he's still getting to his senses and becoming sober. Then he asks the people, like, who got me out of this? I mean, I was in jail, I was in trouble. So he said, no, your neighbor Nu'man, because that was the name of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Nu'man bin Thabit. So immediately when he realizes this, that the man I am causing takleef and hurting is worried about my well-being, immediately he goes and make tawbah and istighfar on his hands, and he says, please forgive me for all the disturbance and takleef and trouble caused in the past. I repent from all my evil from today onwards. No singing, no drinking alcohol, nothing at all. To such an extent that if a person used to make ghibat of Imam Abu Hanifa, if a person used to make ghibat, he used to make dua, oh Allah, make the person who makes my ghibat a mufti of the time. But ya Allah, he just has trampled on your honor and integrity. He says, well, that person has transferred all his good deeds to me. Don't I owe him some good also? At least I can make some dua for him. Wallah, make him the mufti of the time. Person is causing him trouble. Yet this is his response. This is his response. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, his friends, his students and all alike, that they never ever heard ghibat coming out of his mouth. They never ever heard him talking bad about anyone. But shaitan is a master nowadays. He's a master. We'll talk about other people. And what we'll see? Listen, this is not ghibat. Qasam, what I'm saying is the truth. Serious. It's the plain truth. What's wrong in the truth? The truth has to be said, isn't it? It's a bitter pill, but you have to listen to it. That's what Nabi Sam says. If what you are saying about your brother is the truth, behind his back, and he doesn't like it, it is ghibat and backbiting. Because if it was a lie, and if it was false, it was accusation, then it's buhtan. Now it's not ghibat, that's worse. That is buhtan, it's not ghibat. If it's the truth, it is ghibat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever making ghibat of anyone. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was a silk merchant. And he was a well-off person, financially also. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, it is narrated that on some occasions, all the time he was very well-dressed, very well-kept. But on some occasions, it has been recorded that the value of his clothes used to be 400 dirhams. 400 dirhams. What's the minimum mahar today? Minimum mahar. What's the minimum mahar? No, minimum mahar. That's the mahar of Fatimi. About 265 rand or so. Somewhere around there. But whatever the case be, let's round it off 200 rand. The minimum mahar, 200 rand, that is for 10 dirhams. 10 dirhams is 250. 100 dirhams, 2500. Times 4. We said 200. So 2000 times 4, 8000. Minimum 8000 rand was his garment on one day. On some occasions. Meaning at times he used to spend on himself and wear very good clothing. Is this anything wrong? A person comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulallah, there is a person that yuhibbu ayyakuna na'aluhu hasanan wa thawbu hasan. He loves his shoes to be shining. He loves his clothes to be well kept. And he's a person that takes honor and pride in his clothing. Is that takabbur? Is that pride? Nabi Sam says, no. Inna Allah jameel yuhibbul jamal. Allah loves that a person be beautiful. Allah is the dispenser of beauty. He wants to see the beauty. There's nothing wrong in it. But what is pride? بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. That's pride. Two things. بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ. When the truth reaches you, deny the truth. And number two, You despise people. You look down upon people. This were the two qualities of shaitan. When the truth came to him that insan and Adam alayhi salam is better than you, he refused. Aba wastakbar. The truth came, make sajda, no sajda. Allah says, Aba, he refused, wastakbar, out of pride. Number two, ghamtun nas. He looked down upon Adam alayhi salam. What did he say? Ana khayrun min. Ya Allah, I'm better than him. You created me from sand. You created me from fire and him from sand. How do I bow down to someone lesser than me? How do I do that? So never. I'm not going to bow down to him. Make sajda to him. Ghamtun nas. Two qualities. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Two qualities with regards to his respect that he used to give his ustad. His ustad Hamad rahmatullah alayh. He said that I never ever stretched my legs in the direction of my ustad. Yet his house was seven streets away. In whichever direction was my ustad's house in the town, my legs never faced the direction of the house of my ustad. To that extent, today, person may be in the haram, maybe in the masjid, feet is facing towards Qibla. If you tell him, listen, bhai, put your feet together, then he'll ask you, Ish Dalil, where's your proof for it? Where do you prove that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't put his feet towards Kaaba Sharif? They had so much of respect, these were not things to be discussed. Ba adab, ba nasib. Be adab, be nasib. Abu Ustad used to say, bad adab, bad nasib. That person who's got adab, he's got a great fortune. If you don't have adab and etiquette, you have lost a great fortune also. So it's all with adab and respect. And the ahadith of Nabi Sallam are replete with such incidents of sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, highest level of adab and etiquette and respect. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he was a towering scholar of the age, respect for his mother. His mother used to always like to go to the majlis and the gathering of Umar bin Dhar, rahmatullah alayh, who was a pious person. But he used to take his rulings, teachings from Imam Abu Hanifa. He was a pious person in his own category, in his own class. But with regards to rulings, he had his trust on Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, will take his mother and sit in the majlis of Umar bin Dhar, rahmatullah alayh. Because his mother said, I'm not worried, better, no matter how learned you are, I want to sit with him. One day, his mother came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and says, beta, take me, I want to go to Umar bin Dhar, my sheikh, he's my hazrat, I want to ask him something. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh said, ma, can I help you? Ji, help me, take me to him. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh takes his mother all the way to the majlis of Umar bin Dhar, the sheikh of the time. And then the mother tells Umar bin Dhar that this is my question, sheikh, what's the answer to it? So Umar bin Dhar looks at Imam Abu Hanifa, what's the matter? You give the answer. She wants the answer from you. So they exclude themselves for a moment. Umar bin Dhar takes Imam Abu Hanifa one side, says, what's the matter? You got the answer, why are you bringing your mother to me? He says, no, she wants to listen to the answer from you. So Umar bin Dhar used to say, okay, what's the answer? Tell me, I'll tell it to her. What's the answer? I'll tell it to her. Imam Abu Hanifa will give the ruling, then the mother will listen to the ruling from Umar bin Dhar, the sheikh, and then he'll take his mother back home. The next day, same thing would happen. Better, I got a question and I ask Umar bin Dhar. No problem, let's go. He never ever told his mother, ma, that answer came from me. Umar bin Dhar doesn't know anything. Humility. That was the tawadu of his. That respect for his asatiza, for the shuyukh, for the pious people of that time. That was that respect. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, what was the reason to his death? He passed away at the age of 80. No, 70. Because he was born at 80 AH, passed away 150 AH, J. So that'll be 70 years old was his age when he passed away. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was summoned by the Khalifa of the time, Abbasi Khalifa. So he was called and summoned. So the Khalifa tells him, listen, I am putting you in the position of governorship. You're going to be the governor of this area. Or you're going to be the chief justice according to some narrations. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, for Allah's sake, don't give me any position. He says, you have to take it. But this was the ploy. That listen, he's gonna come, he wouldn't want the position, we'll enforce it onto him. If he doesn't take it, we imprison him. He wanted to get rid of Imam Abu Hanifa, he was too pious for his kingdom. So anyway, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was summoned, he is called, he is given the position of Chief Justice. Why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses many Sahaba rahmatullahi, many. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, if it's possible for you that you don't become the leader of anyone, please do so. Don't ever become anyone's leader. Don't take leadership. Many other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi directed them not to take any leadership. So anyway, obviously if a person is capable, example in Surah Yusuf, and there's no one else that can fit the office, then you can put yourself forward for the position, it will be permissible. But anyway, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi refused, put into prison. Within 15 days of imprisonment, he passed away. The first 10 days, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi used to be taken out. You want to become the Chief Justice? No. Lash him 10 times until he bleeds, take him around the town, and then put him back in prison. 10 days this happened. After the 10th day, he picked up his hands and he cried to Allah. He says, Ya Allah, whatever is best for me, grant it to me. Whatever is best, you know what is best. 5 days later, he passed away. And when he perceived that he's going to be passing away, he dives down into the sajda position. And in the sajda position, he passes away and he meets Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, grant each one of us the qualities, some of the lessons that we learnt in the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. And inshallah, if it's possible, we'll discuss the lives of the other a'imma also. Because there's lesson from each one of them. Imam Malik rahmatullahi, Imam Mudaril Hijra, he was the one that used to reside in Medina Munawwara. Imam Malik rahmatullahi. So there's many lessons about the life of Imam Malik rahmatullahi also and the other a'imma. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك